This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. Deputy Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, Atip Latiful Hayat, has revealed that the education fee exemption mandated by recent Constitutional Court decision will likely be rolled out in the next academic year in 2026. The Constitutional Court decision, which applies to both public and private schools, cannot be enforced without considering the financial aspects. Deputy Chair of Commission 7 of the House of Representatives, Evita Nur Santi, has asked Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Bahlil Lahadalia to evaluate all mining concessions issued in Raja Ampat. According to Nur Santi, the government needs to take a firm stance on the nickel mines on the small island in Raja Ampat. If those mines endanger the ecosystem, they must be closed without exception. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Rattan is usually made into furniture or handicrafts, but rattan can also be food. The soft rattan is barbecued for 1 hour. After that, the white parts of rattan are sliced. Then, it's ready to be eaten with dipping sauce. What is the name of this food? Pakat rattan from North Sumatra.
Poverty and inequality, they are universal. They undermine every society, everywhere. But poverty is not natural. It is man-made, so poverty is not inevitable. It is an area where the world has made huge progress in the past few decades. Just 30 years ago, there were 1.9 billion people living in extreme poverty, but that number has been transformed. In 2015, it fell to 734 million. That's over a billion people lifted out of poverty.
A billion people out of poverty is amazing.
Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the UN.
It was across the world we lifted people out of poverty. Across the world, more kids got into education. It was across the world, maternal mortality was reduced. Across the world today, not many people will be left without access to a mobile phone. And what that has done to empower them to access to education, to a livelihood, is huge.
But still, almost 10% of the human race are living unbelievably harsh lives. This is largely determined by their circumstances at birth, and these high levels of inequalities work against better opportunities for all. Opportunities that could change the world.
The world is filled with inequality. While we are all floating on the same sea, we are not in the same boat. It's clear that some are in super yachts, while others are clinging to drifting debris.
Professor Sugarta Mitra is the brains behind what has become known as the hole-in-the-wall experiment.
I want to tell you a story about 1999. I used to teach people how to write computer programs. And I had a very, you know, plush office and everything. And just outside of these offices, there was this large, sprawling, urban slum full of children. Now, those children, they had never seen a computer before. They didn't know what the internet was, and they didn't know any English. But I had a sneaky kind of suspicion that there was a special relationship between children and computers that perhaps we were not aware of. So one day I tried an experiment. I made an opening in the boundary wall that separated my offices from the slum. And then I fixed a computer into the boundary wall so that from the other side of the wall, you could see the computer and a touchpad. And on the first day, we saw this 8-year-old boy teaching a 6-year-old girl how to surf. Now, how on earth did he figure that out? How did he know what the computer was doing 3 months after I had first put their computer in the wall? Children said they wanted a faster processor and a better mouse. I asked them, how on earth do you know these words? Where did you learn this from? And they said, well, you've left a machine here that speaks only in English, so we had no option but to learn the language. Easy, isn't it? I repeated the hole-in-the-wall experiment for 5 years across the length and breadth of India. We have an enormous potential of what children can achieve together if we let them.
There is potential everywhere. We just have to unlock it.
Actor and UNDP Goodwill Ambassador Michelle Yeoh.
A huge amount depends on where public money is spent. More of it must urgently go into health, into giving everyone a safety net. There is a revolution that is happening in education, global digital literacy, connecting every school, every person to the internet. This can be done. The recovery from COVID must lead to an economy that works for everyone. Let's start with tax. We have widespread tax concessions, tax avoidance, and tax evasion, which means that there's so much less money for all the crucial things: health, education, social protection, green jobs. Many developing countries are weighed down by historical debts, spending more money on debt repayments than they are spending on healthcare and improving their own people's lives. And then there's the importance of global investment in peace. More and more, the poorest countries in the world are those countries where conflicts and violence tear apart people's lives and chances. The peace dividend for the world is immeasurable.
That's why, in March, the UN Secretary General called for a global ceasefire.
And we must break the vicious cycle of corruption and increase the power of the people to keep check on the people in power. A strong civil society, a free, independent media, and responsible social media platforms that encourage healthy debate. Equality unleashes the potential of everyone to improve their own lives and contribute to the lives of everyone else.
Samudra terbentang khatulistiwa, di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
June 8, 2025, United Nations World Ocean Day opened the UN Ocean Conference in Nice, France, from 9 to 13 June 2025. The unique alignment of two major UN ocean events is an unprecedented opportunity to amplify visibility and collaborative efforts for the ocean. Nodding to the special nature of the occasion, World Oceans Day 2025 will celebrate the theme Wonder, Sustaining What Sustains Us. To know more about it, let's give a listen to the VOI Talk and the Morning Talk with
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners and viewers, Indonesia is not only the largest archipelagic country in the world, it is also host to the richest marine biodiversity in the world. What about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability? Let's find out more on today's VOI Talk with Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri, as the expert staff of ecology and ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries, on today's VOI Talk. Good morning, Pak Hendra. How are you today?
Good morning, Bu. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI Talk. And as I told our listeners before, today we're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability, especially after our ocean conferences that was hosted by Indonesia itself in 2018. Could you elaborate more about Indonesia's role?
Right. Thank you. First of all, thanks for Voice of Indonesia to invite me this important event and the Korbaya. I hope my voice is okay. Just get notification that I got unstable networking. Anyway, I like to continue that. So yes, it was in 2018, we host the Our ocean conference. It is like the first that it was in October, and our ocean conference is like a kind of like register our commitment and so forth. So this is a kind of like how to show that all the stakeholders, just like government, non-government organizations or communities, community organization as well, to raise the commitment for the oceans. And I guess and compared to the list and then listen from what has been done in Busan last month regarding the Ocean Conference, there are some commitment. It is already increased in numbers and also in term of the amounts of the money for the commitment of the oceans. So I think for Indonesia, the roles after the Ocean Conference, we consist and then we commit to many kind of like measure for marine resources and also ocean governance. So I can give some, for example, for the MPA, for example, we have already commit for 30% by 2045. It will be like 97.5 million hectares in 2045. And so far, we have already achieved that, like to 29.9 million hectares. So it is still big, big job. And then we all have already shifting our the way we fisheries, our managing our fisheries, from input control to the output control. So this is a kind like our roles and after Ocean Conference, and we also commit and to for the. How mainstreaming the oceans into the climate change. Right? In fact, we are also part of the high, high ambition for the coalition, the high ambition coalition for ocean and climate dialogue. And we also active in kind of like, how to mainstream the roles of the ocean in the climate change. And so far we have already, our ocean in our national determined contribution. This is really the good documents. I hope with the sum, for example, this is to show that our role after the ocean conference actually is the timeline is not only 2009, but it was before that. We also conduct like in 2009 the Coral Reef Triangle Summit, and already produced what we call this Coral Triangle Initiative for. Already fisheries and food security, and we established the secretariat in Manado, Indonesia. I hope this is kind of like example the way how our effort to contribute significantly to the regional and global process of sustainable oceans. Thank you.
Yeah, so actually long way before 2018, Indonesia has played its significant role. And when it comes to the 10th Our Ocean Conference in Busan, South Korea, that was just held, one of the commitments conveyed in the conference is that concerning sustainable marine management through the Blue Economy Program and then marine spatial zoning regulation. Can you explain us how going on?
Yeah, this is one of the commitment, one of six commitment that is already announced during the Our Ocean Conference. So this is our commitment how to make sure that all the activities in the oceans and coastal areas, this will be planned in ahead. So mean that should be hand in hand together any kind of activities. So that's why this is important, the roles of marine spatial plannings. So we still have some tasks need to be done. That's why we announced our commitment to finalize that. And hopefully that it will be, all the Indonesian territory will be, has a good mapping and also good planning in terms of doing that. So, yeah, this is our commitment for make sure that we will manage our ocean and coastal in sustainable way, and also in with a good planning.
Okay, from blue economy, we move to a blue carbon, specifically blue carbon network and database, where Indonesia has been initiating this effort, strengthening collaboration and cooperation in international forums. So, how's the collaboration and cooperation that is meant here?
Can you elaborate more? What do you mean by database? Do you mean the database for secrets?
Yes, well, formulating a blue carbon management policies to guidelines for calculating its value.
Right. Let me see that. First, I would like to explain about the blue carbon. Blue carbon is like, this is the terminology we use for the ecosystem that in coastal areas that contribute for, to mitigate or mitigation action for the climate change, as well as for the adaptation. So the blue carbon ecosystem consists such as like mangrove, seagrass, meadow, tidal marsh, and some of that, any kind like Now there is ongoing discussions about the seaweed, for example. But this is kind of like the ecosystem that Indonesia contribute for the mangrove, for example, like 70% of the globally. This mangrove seagrass meadow will be 11%. We in Indonesia, especially for the mangrove, I think more advanced compared to the seagrass. So in mangrove, we mangrove and seagrass, we follow the guideline from the IPCC guideline, which is they call the IPCC guideline supplement of IPCC guideline for mangrove and for coastal wetland ecosystem. So again, in negotiation process or the terminology that we use in IPCC or the UNFCCC, the blue carbon, we use like coastal wetland ecosystem. So the ecosystem that have in wetland, so they can contribute, you know, to prevent the community from disasters and also contribute to reduce the gas emissions. But importantly, they are rich, they consist of the rich carbon, especially from the below ground or in the soil, like a mangrove or the seagrass, for example. So we have, for the mangrove, we have like database. For the seagrass, we are developing right now. The mapping is also in the process. Hopefully, we'll be launching very soon. We targeted, we can, you know, we have complete seagrass mapping in this year. Thank you.
Okay. And moving on to international efforts to ensure ocean health and wealth that were gaining momentum actually before COVID-19 hits. One of them is a Sustainable Development Goal or SDG 14 on life below water. But is it true there is setback to realize it? If it is, why and how's the solution?
I can say it's not setback, but we still have faced some challenges. There are some factors that contribute to the some challenges. For example, that we still have overfishing or overfishing. So if you follow the our ministry website or our ministry social media, so I guess every week we catch the illegal fishing from neighboring countries. So this is a challenge, I think, and we still have like a marine pollution, for example, and of course the habitat destructions. I cannot say this is not a setback, but the challenges we have to, you know, overcome, and then we need to how to make sure that there will be we can reduce these challenges. And of course, one of the big challenges, I guess, for the SDG is about the financing. So funding is really important. So that's why if you compare that, how our capacity for financing and compared to the required budget for, like, for example, for like conserving or managing resources, I think is we are far beyond that. So that's we need enhance the capacity, and also we need to make it awareness to all the stakeholders how to address a kind of life.
So previously, we confirmed that the Sustainable Development Goal, or SDG 14 on life below water, doesn't really face a setback, but a challenge instead. Yeah. And you also mentioned before about illegal fishing. And based on data that we have here from Indonesia's National Commission on Stock Assessments in 2017, showing that nearly half of the nation's wild fish stocks were overfished, partly due to illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing, leading to an estimated loss of $4 billion annually. So how's the progress of securing Indonesian ocean to prevent illegal, unregulated, and unreported, or IUU fishing nowadays?
I can respond this by having some examples. So I would like starting that the ministry is really strongest commitment to reduce the IUP thing, because this is one of like that make our economies worse. And you see that we conduct not only from national, also regional and international wise. We in AU, we also, report that. And then some country that catch in our water is already get the yellow card from the European Union. So I think we conduct surveillance, physical surveillance by our ships. So, KKP, our ministry has several, surveillance vessel. And we just, last week in Natuna, the North Natuna seas, we already catch some illegal fishing. And we have already prevent the loss of our economic point of view. I think it's more than like a billion, so for example, right now. And we strengthen our monitoring control and surveillance, MCS Indonesia. And in our ministry, we have the common centers, so we can track the vessel that catch in our territory. So this is important. We apply the regulation. All the ship above the 30 gross tonnage should be equipped by the vessel monitoring system. This is how we monitor the ship. It's not only for the government, but for the owner, this is a benefit, so they can track the vessel. So the VMS, we can track that. And if there is anomaly action, such as like they switch off the VMS, we can track them. And we can by machine learning or by our analysis, we can predict whether this is can be transshipment or can be like illegal fishing or enter in conservation areas. So we strengthen our monitoring system. In Indonesia, also in the ministry, we also host the secretariat, what we call this National Plan of Action Against IUU Fishing, Regional Plan of Action Promote Responsible Fishing Practice, including combating IUU fishing, RPOA IUU, the secretariat in our DG of surveillance. And we also working together with our neighboring countries through the mechanism what we call the CTICFF, Triangle Initiative for Coral Fisheries and Food Security. And we have also, of course, in regulatory, we have already, promote the what we call this fisheries-based quota management. This is like, we try to balance, normally the area that, contain resources cannot get the economic benefit. That's why we force, the system should be, they have to be landed in the area that have resources. So give like economic, economic trickle down effect to the area. So this is very important. And we conduct the international cooperation for such as like the countries. And then we have already apply what we call this port state measures. This is the FAO system. And we also promote the community involvement through POKWASMAS, Kelompok Pengawas Masyarakat. This is a community surveillance system. And of course, we try to, part of the against transnational criminal networks. And I guess IUU is already, labeling as a transnational crime. So that's why we committed to reduce that. So I think I would like to highlight this into this. We don't want to go to the controversial vessel fishing policies right now. So because we try to, if there are some illegal fishing, for example, so we try to maximize the vessel that we catch for education, for universities, for example, or for the communities that can be benefit more instead of to sinking and then will be, not really really good for the environment as well. Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. And now, back in February 2024, we're talking about a project identification mission mark the commencement of Indonesia Coral Bond Initiative, which focuses on national and provincial marine protected areas in Raja Ampat and Alor and also Savu Sea. Is the project still going? And what have been achieved through this program, Pak Hendra?
Yes, in fact, we are not starting yet. We are in the process for negotiation with the World Bank. So this is the first, let me share that my, you cannot see that my screen, right?
So, yes, we can see it.
Yeah, this is the way we do it, because protecting coral reef in Indonesia is projected like 37 billion economic benefit by. This is a study from the UNEP. So that's why Indonesia is launching the Indonesia Coral Bonds. So this innovative financing, this is the non-loan or non-debt instruments. And this is a non-sovereign bond. Means that we don't have any obligation to return back how to attract the fund for this bond. That's why we collaborate with the World Bank, IUCN, BNP Paribas, the banking, and also GF. In Indonesia, we work together with Bappenas, closely together with Bappenas, and also Indonesia Environmental Health Fund. So Indonesia Coral Bond, actually, this is like 5 years, but as bit slightly, is still in the negotiation process. But again, they can be like outcome-based financing instrument that's linked with a specific target. And also will be issued by the World Bank, and the principle, because World Bank has the, in terms of the capital market, World Bank is a AAA balance sheet, means that a very reputable institution to issue the bonds. And this will provide funding to the marine protected areas, and there will be funding provided by investors and occupiers. And we're using the MPA IUCN Green List as one of the our examples. So, yeah, this is, you mentioned about our target specific. There will be three MPA in Raja Ampat, because Raja Ampat consists of our national marine protected areas and also local protected area. And then signing the agreement very soon. We are on the last stage of the finalization of our agreement with the World Bank. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the detailed elaboration. I wish I could dig deeper. But now we move to another important issue, which is marine plastic debris, in which the government of Indonesia has committed to reducing 70% of Indonesia's marine plastic debris by 2025 and to become a plastic solution free by 2040. So, how is it going on, the achievement so far, and who are involved in this effort?
I think previously we the ministry part of what we call this national plan of action for reducing marine pollution, marine plastic to the sea, and now. with the new structures of the government, so that will be coordinated by coordinating Ministry of Food Affairs, and we have already discussions and also coordinating meeting, for example. We have target that. I think one of the big problem for the marine plastic or marine pollution is coming from the upstream. So we need to tackle the upstreams, how we reduce and how we recycle, and then how can we reuse that. And then also the important things is like how to make sure that we separate. Separation is the key step, the key important step to reduce and to minimize the garbage. So, because you can find all the thing in the seas, so the sea is not a big garbage bin, but we need to reduce that by having good practice and then good behavior. So separate which one is will be like the organic waste and also unorganic waste, and can be or unorganic waste will be like can be recycled, can be reused and usable, and also can be we can promote it. And we also promote what we call this circular economy to do that. In Indonesia, for example, ministry, we work together with the fishermen because one of our blue economy policy is how to minimize the plastic waste. So this is kind of like the activities that we go together with the fishermen, and we conduct what they call the seaman, one love seaman, so bulan cinta laut. So the idea is like we don't want to the numbers not increase, but we want to reduce that by having like since beginning. Now in our fishing port, we also apply each fishing vessel should be listed their plastic or contain plastic material before fishing, and then have to report back to the fishing port after the fishing. So if they are, plastic is not, will be traced back to the sea, there will be some punishment later on to the fishing vessel. So yes, so this is kind of like, how we, our strategy to reduce plastic for, especially from the activities that related to the marine and fisheries. Thank you.
Okay, hope this strategy is are running well so far and meet the target. Okay, Pak Hendra, final statement please that you would like to convey to our listeners, our Indonesian and international listeners about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability and how can people contribute to preserve global ocean sustainability.
Right. First, I would like to mention here, Indonesia is a big archipelagic countries. We 1,504 islands, and we are the second longest coastline in the world. And our marine resources contribute to regulated the world climates. So this is how the importance of Indonesian marine and coastal. That's why Indonesia is like for mangrove, for example, we contribute almost 1/5 of our mangrove, and also seagrass, like 1/10 of our the contribution of to the, our seagrass. So this is to show that the importance of Indonesia coastal areas, especially and the for the future of like the ocean. So if we don't guard the oceans, the ocean will be sacrificed, will be degraded, and if the ocean degraded, that means that the world will be degraded as well. So let's work together for guarding the oceans, because the ocean is like the all the resources coming from the oceans. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pak Hendra Yusron Siri, Expert Staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. Let's keep going hand in hand to preserve global ocean sustainability. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI talk on Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean and sustainability. Hope it gives you more insights and information about Indonesia's role and about global ocean sustainability itself. Joining us in another interesting and insightful talks on VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I miss you, baby. Woo! Hampir setiap malam hari. setiap bunyi berdiri, langsung kuangkat telponku, berharap itu dari kamu. Berkali-kali aku SMS kamu, berkata mesra yang aku ucapkan, kamu gak tahu apa gak mau. Kamu gak ada kabar, gak ada penjelasan. I miss you but I hate you.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Baby, take my hand. I want you to be my husband. Kiss you, my Iron Man. And I love you 3,000. Baby, take a chance. 'Cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie.
See you standing there in your Hulk outerwear, and all I can think is, where is the ring? 'Cause I know you wanna ask, scared the moment will pass. I can see it in your eyes, just take me by surprise. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee. But I want it to be out of the blue, so make sure I have no clue when you ask. Baby, take my hand. I want you to be my husband. 'Cause you're my Iron Man, and I love you 3,000. Baby, take a chance. 'Cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Now we're having dinner, and baby, you're my winner. I see the way you smile, you're thinking about the aisle. You reach in your pocket, emotions unlocking. And before you could ask, I answer too fast. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee. So now I can't stop thinking about you. I check my head. Now I want you to be my husband. Cause you my Iron Man. And I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance. Cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Da-da-da-da-dum. No spoilers, please. Da-da-da-da-dum. No spoilers, please. Baby, take my hand. I want you to be my husband. Cause you're my Iron Man. And I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance. Cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Baby, no spoilers, please. Da-da-da-da-dum. No spoilers, please. Da-da-da-da-dum. No spoilers, please.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from Baila. Baila is an Indonesian new band which has made a new achievement through its song Asa Asmara, or Hope of Love. This song was released on October 2, 2024, and as of November 20, it reaches more than 1 million times playing on the Spotify streaming platform. The song Asa Asmara has become known for its meaningful lyrics and heart-touching melody. This success is widely promoted through Baila social media, which shows the journey of this song from its launch to its phenomenal achievement. This song carries the main theme of courage to express feelings. Through the lyrics, it calls on the listeners not to be afraid to express love, even though there is a possibility of rejection. This message is relevant for those who often feel hesitant or anxious when they want to show their feelings to someone they love. Well, listener, this is Baila with the song Asa Asmara. Let's check this one out.
Apa yang telah kau Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. various interesting content such as likes, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Voice of Indonesia.
What is this food?
Rattan is usually made into furniture or handicrafts, but rattan can also be food. The soft rattan is barbecued for 1 hour. After that, the white parts of rattan are sliced. Then, it's ready to be eaten with dipping sauce. What is the name of this food? Pakat Rotan from North Sumatra.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services. English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment,